그래요. 작수를 매장해 많이 쓰는 대단히만 하고 싶은 사비상에 한번 소리지만 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today is the festival when Srila Raghunath Das Goswami got the blessings of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and fed all the Vaishnavas. So I was thinking that today we would be discussing on that from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but unfortunately we were not given the book, so we'll just have to speak whatever we remember. So if the Vaishnavas are kind upon us, then our memory may avail. Oh, Jai. Oh, very good. Thank you. Krishna has provided. Chapter 6. The meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. A summary of this chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Praha Bhashya, or Pravaha Bhashya, as follows. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into transcendental fits of ecstatic love, Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar Goswami attended to him and satisfied him as he desired. Raghunath Das Goswami had been attempting to come to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a long time. And finally he left his home and met the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Shandipur on his way to Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami had offered to dedicate his life at the Lord's lotus feet. In the meantime, however, a Mohammedan official became envious of Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle, and induced some big official court minister to have him arrested. Thus Hiranyadas left his home. But by the intelligence of Raghunath Das, the misunderstanding was mitigated. Then Raghunath Das went to Panihati, and following the order of Nityananda Prabhu, he observed a festival, Chiradadhi Mahotsav, by distributing chipped rice mixed with yogurt. The day after the festival, Nityananda Prabhu gave Raghunath Das the blessing that he would very soon attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After this incident, Raghunath Das, with the help of his priest, whose name was Yadunandanan Acharya, got out of his house by trickery and thus ran away. Not touching the general path, Raghunath Das secretly went to Jagannath Puri. After 12 days, he arrived in Jagannath Puri at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted Raghunath Das Goswami to Srup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, another name for Raghunath Das Goswami is Srupir Raghu, or the Raghunath of Srup Damodar. For 5 days, Raghunath Das Goswami took prasad at the temple, but later he would stand at the Simhadwara gate and eat only whatever he could gather by alms. Later he lived by taking alms from various chatras, or food distributing centers. When Raghunath's father received news of this, he sent some men and money, but Raghunath Das refused to accept the money. Understanding that Raghunath Das was living by begging from the chatras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented him with his own gunjamala and a stone from Govardhan Hill. Thereafter, Raghunath Das Goswami used to eat rejected food that he had collected and washed. This renounced life greatly pleased both Srup Damodar Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took by force some of the saint's food, thus blessing Raghunath Das Goswami for his renunciation. So, from the translation, with the ropes of his causeless mercy, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. He made Raghunath Das Goswami one of his personal associates, placing him under the charge of Srup Damodar Goswami. I offer my obeisances unto him. Thus enjoyed his life with his devotees. O devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now hear how Raghunath Das Goswami met the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught five main principles through five devotees. He taught humility through Sanatana Goswami. He taught the attachment to the chanting and preaching of the holy name through Haridas Thakur. He taught renunciation through Raghunath Das Goswami. He taught detachment from sense gratification from Haridas Thakur, from Ramananda Rai. I think he taught the process of devotional service, the mellows of devotional service through Rupa Goswami. So Raghunath Das is a very, very important devotee, a very important acharya in our lives. He is not to be neglected. We see that here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is considering Rupa and Raghunath as his instructing spiritual masters. They are his guides. So out of the Goswamis themselves, these two are very special. Srila Prabhupada mentions that they are coming down. They are eternally liberated souls, and they have come down for the pastimes. And the other Goswamis, then they have perfected themselves in the association of the devotees and with the Lord's pastimes. So Rupa and Raghunath are very, very special position. And they come to teach us the devotional process. Rupa Goswami very clearly delineated the spiritual process, and we see that Raghunath Das Goswami very nicely practiced it and lived it. Raghunath Das, we have to remember, he is coming from a very wealthy family, Majumdar family. So they at that time were tax collectors. So the old system of tax collecting was is that an area was given to a tax collector. It is not that he was a government servant. He was not a shudra. Shudra means he goes out, does the work for the government, whatever money is collected, that's given. But they were basically like small kings. They were landlords, which are actually in the Vaishya community, but they own lands and they live by basically the same process. They have their own armies. They have the same influence as kings. No, they are not kings. They are not kshatriyas. So, a tract of land is under their control. And the government, the king, whoever it is, he takes from them so much tax that every year I want this much money. And then the rest is up to the tax collector. He goes, he knows the situation, he knows how wealthy the people are, he knows everything. So then he collects tax from everyone. And then he then gives tax to the king. So generally we see if they are clever and they are expert at their duties, they will collect much more than the tax they have to pay, as long as everything is going nicely. So that means they also have to organize and manage the place very nicely so that they are getting the proper return. If the people are not protected, things are not going on nicely, the place is irreligious, then we will see the cultivation and whatever else that they are engaged in will not be so profitable. He will not get good tax, because they'll get whatever it is, 1/6, 1/4 of whatever is grown. I think if they get 1/4 of the profits or 1/6 of the total of the growth. And then from that, they must give their tax. Their tax is fixed, but they may get a lot. I mean, the tax they have to pay to the king is a fixed rate, but what they might get, 1 year may be very good, 1 year may be not so good. So these mazumdars, they had, at that time, 4 million gold coins. So 4 million gold coins. I'm not sure what a gold coin is worth these days. I'm not sure what a krugerrand is worth, but I don't know if it's $100 or what it is. But you can imagine the wealth they had. Multimillionaires. Now you take that multimillionaire and plunk him down in one of these villages here. So their influence is very great. Their position. How much wealth they have for the situation is there. They didn't have to. Things were not expensive then. At the time of Srila Prabhupada, he said one paisa could buy more vegetables than a man could carry. So in Calcutta, we see a man can carry about 40 to 60 kilos of vegetables on his head. So that's what one paisa would buy. And that was at the turn of the century, let alone 500 years ago. At that time, they used to bargain with kodis, these little conch shells. And there were 11 kodis to one paisa. So, like this. And then he's, how much gold they have. So the position that he has is so greatly wealthy. And from this, we see he is giving it all up. He is not attached to this. His wife, it is said, she was as beautiful as Lakshmi. So his position was greater than that of Indra. His wealth, influence, the position, everything was greater than what Indra had. Like we see the Pandavas, their wealth was greater than Indra. Their position was greater, their fame, their glory. So this is the position of Raghunath Das. But he was never attached to the family situation. He was never disturbed by it. So when he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, then he tried to go and join him. He went, he visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he received the message that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from Mathura city, Raghunath Das endeavored to go to the lotus feet of the Lord. Raghunath Das was inwardly completely renounced, even in family life, but he did not express his renunciation externally. Instead, he acted just like an ordinary businessman. Seeing this, his father and mother were satisfied. Here. Formerly, when the Mohammedan government was in power, the person appointed tax collector would collect the taxes of the local zemindars, or landholders. He would keep 1/4 of the collection for himself as a profit, and the balance he would deliver to the treasury of the government. When Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das's uncle, made an agreement with the government to collect taxes, the Mohammedan Chaudhary, or tax collector, having lost his position, became extremely envious. Hiranyadas was collecting 2 million coins and therefore should have delivered 1,500 to the government. Instead, he was giving only, 1,500,000 to the government. Instead, he was giving only 1,200,000, thus making an extra profit of 300,000 coins. Seeing this, the Mohammedan Chaudhary, who was a Turk, became his rival. After sending a confidential account to the government treasury, the Chaudhary brought the minister in charge. The Chaudhary came, wanting to arrest Hiranyadas, but Hiranyadas had left home. Therefore, the Chaudhary arrested Raghunath Das. Every day, the Mohammedan would chastise Raghunath Das and tell him, Bring your father and elder brother, otherwise you will be punished. The Chaudhary wanted to beat him, but as soon as he saw Raghunath's face, his mind changed and he could not beat him. Indeed, the Chaudhary was afraid of Raghunath Das, because Raghunath Das belonged to the Kaishtha community. Although the Chaudhary would chastise him with oral vibrations, he was afraid to beat him. While this was going on, Raghunath Das thought of a tricky method of escape. Thus he humbly submitted this plea at the feet of the Mohammedan Chaudhary. My dear sir, my father and elder brother are both your brothers. All brothers always fight about something. Sometimes brothers fight amongst themselves, and sometimes they have very friendly dealings. There is no certainty when such changes will take place. Thus I am sure that although today you are fighting, tomorrow you three brothers will be sitting together in peace. Just as I am my father's son, so I am also yours. I am your dependent, and you are my maintainer. For a maintainer to punish the person he maintains is not good. You are expert in all the scriptures. Indeed, you are living like a saint. Hearing Raghunath Das's appealing voice, the Mohammedan's heart softened. He began to cry, and tears glided down his beard. The Mohammedan showed it toward Raghunath Das, "You are my son from this day on. Today, by some means, I shall have you released." After informing the minister, the Chaudhary released Raghunath Das and then began to speak to him with great affection. "The elder brother of your father is less intelligent," he said. "He enjoys 800,000 coins, but since I am also a shareholder, he should give some portion of it to me. Now you go arrange a meeting between me and your uncle. Let him do whatever he thinks best. I shall completely depend on his decision." Raghunath Das arranged a meeting between his uncle and the Chaudhary. He settled the matter, and everything was peaceful. In this way, Raghunath Das passed 1 year exactly like a first-class business manager, but the next year he again decided to leave home. He got up one night and left, but his father caught him in a distant place and brought him back. This became almost a daily affair. Raghunath Das would run away from home, and his father would again bring him back. Then Raghunath Das's mother began speaking to his father. "Our son has become mad," she said. "Just keep him by binding him with ropes." His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. "Raghunath Das, our son, has opulences like Indra, the heavenly king, and his wife is as beautiful as an angel. Yet all this could not tie down his mind. How then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible even for one's father to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy on him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra?" Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosai. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda Prabhu seemed as effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place, and the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, "There is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances." Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here, come here. Today I shall punish you." The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das's head. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. "You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now I have captured you. I shall punish you. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunathas was greatly pleased. Raghunathas immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Raghunathas brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other edibles and placed them all around. As soon as they heard that a festival was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus, there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunathas arranged to get more edibles from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots. And in these pots, a Brahmin began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk, and each of the had changed his clothes for a new one and sat on a raised platform. The Brahmin had brought before him the 7 huge pots. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men sat down in a circle around the Lord. Among them were Ram Das, Sundarananda, Garadhar Das, Murari, Kamalakara, Sadashiva, and Purandara, Dhananjaya, Jagadish, Parameshwar Das, Mahesh, Gauri Das, and Hoda Krishna Das were also there. Similarly, Udarananda Tata and many other personal associates of the Lord sat on the raised platform with Nityananda Prabhu. No one could count them all. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, brahmanas, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with them. Everyone was offered 2 earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and the other chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people were there. Each and every one of them was supplied 2 earthen pots, one of chipped rice soaked in yogurt and the other of chipped rice soaked in condensed milk. Some of the Brahmins, not having gotten a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges with their 2 earthen pots and soaked their chipped rice there. Others who could not get a place even on the bank of the Ganges got down into the water and began eating their 2 kinds of chipped rice. Thus, some sat on the platform, some sat at the base of the platform, and some on the bank of the Ganges. And they were supplied 2 pots each by the 20 men who distributed the food. At that time, Raghava Pandit arrived there. Seeing the situation, he began to laugh in great surprise. He brought many other kinds of food cooked in ghee and offered to the Lord. This prasad he placed before Lord Nityananda and then distributed among the devotees. Raghava Pandit said to Lord Nityananda, "For you, sir, I have already offered food to the deity, but you are engaged in a festival here, and so the food is lying there untouched." Lord Nityananda replied, "Let me eat all this food here during the day, and I shall eat at your home at night. I belong to a community of cowherd boys, and therefore I generally have many cowherd associates with me. I am happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river." Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and had 2 pots delivered to him also. There were 2 kinds of chipped rice soaked in them. When chipped rice had been served to everyone, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in meditation, brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stood up. They then saw how the others were enjoying the chipped rice with yogurt and condensed milk. From each and every pot, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took 1 morsel of chipped rice and pushed it into the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a joke. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also smiling, took a morsel of food pushed it into the mouth of Nityananda and laughed as he made Lord Nityananda eat it. In this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through all the groups of eaters, and all the Vaishnavas standing there were seeing the fun. No one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were fortunate, could see that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. Then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side, he kept four pots of chipped rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Lord Nityananda offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place and had him sit down. Then together the two brothers began eating chipped rice. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu became very happy and exhibited varieties of ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, "All of you eat, chanting the holy name of Hari." Immediately the holy names Hari, Hari resounded, filling the entire universe. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hari, Hari, and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys on the bank of the Jamuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu were extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunath Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He is so powerful that he induced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come eat chipped rice on the bank of the Ganges. All the confidential devotees, who were a cowherd boys headed by Sri Ramdas, were absorbed in ecstatic love. They thought the bank of the Ganges to be the bank of the Jamuna. When the shopkeepers of many other villages heard about the festival, they arrived there to sell chipped rice, yogurt, sweetmeats, and bananas. As they came, bringing all kinds of food, Raghunath Das purchased it all. He gave them the price for the goods and later sent them the very same food. Anyone who came to see these funny things, how these funny things were going on, was also fed chipped rice, yogurt, and bananas. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished eating, he washed his hands and mouth and gave Raghunath Das the food remaining in the four pots. There was food remaining in the three other big pots of Lord Nityananda, and the Brahmin distributed it to all the devotees, giving a morsel to each. Then a Brahmin brought a flower garland, placed the garland on Nityananda Prabhu's neck, and smeared sandalwood paste all over his body. When a servant brought betel nuts and offered them to Lord Nityananda, the Lord smiled and chewed them. With his own hands, Lord Nityananda Prabhu distributed to all the devotees whatever flower garland, sandwich pulp, and betel nuts remained. After receiving the remnants of food left by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das, who was greatly happy, ate some and distributed the rest among his own associates. Thus I have described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in relation to the celebrated festival of chip doi and yogurt.
Jai Shri Chiradoi Utsavati.
So we see here the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu that he was giving to Raghunath Das Goswami. Very important thing is to be learned from this pastime is that Raghunath Das had originally approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get his mercy and to join his mission. But Lord Chaitanya sent him back to his home and told him, "You be there. You, no need to renounce everything. You, in your house, be Krishna conscious." So only later, when he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, was he actually able to then go and get the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the process. One can approach Radha and Krishna only if he approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one can only gain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if one has first gotten the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And we see that by the grace of Advaita Acharya, he has brought these two wonderful brothers here So by gaining his mercy, one can gain the mercy of these two brothers. This is a very important point, that Raghunath Das gained the full shelter of the Lord when he approached Lord Nityananda. Of course, when we approach, anytime we approach the Lord is very kind and merciful. And then he gives us the opportunity and the intelligence to surrender to the Acharya. So this is the process. We approach the Lord, as we see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing in his songs, Bhajan Lasa, in the Sharanagati. He's first approaching the Lord and describing his unfortunate situation, and that the only way that he is going to come to the full shelter of the Lord is by the mercy of his devotees. Then we see the attention of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is then placed upon the Acharya, on the devotees, on his guru. And then by their mercy, then we actually get the mercy of Krishna. So first is understanding that Krishna is the shelter. We approach Krishna. But then the actual practical receiving of that shelter then is gotten by the grace of Guru. So by this combination of Guru and Krishna, we have faith in both, then everything is revealed. One gets all mercy. So Lord Nityananda, he is the Adi Guru. So by approaching him, then one actually gets the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this lesson is being learned by this festival here. This is a very good opportunity that we can remember this pastime, how fortunate was Raghunath Das, and how wonderful in the pastimes of the Lord and his reciprocations with his devotees. But even though Raghunath Das was living in this situation, Lord Chaitanya had sent them. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, even Lord Chaitanya came to take part in this festival and give his blessings to Raghunath Das Goswami. Any questions or comments by the Swami, elevated Vaishnavi? So this process should be followed. This detachment of Raghunath Das, whether it was in the home or whether it was he left the home, his complete attachment to Lord Chaitanya, his gaining the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, which is very, very important. Any other questions? Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Shri Doi Utsav Mahamahotsav ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Somehow or other we're attracted to Krishna. So he was preaching to all these Jughai and Mudhai in New York, these fallen people. So when he was telling his story, he said that the young son of this rich man, he said, "Oh Brahmin, I'm sure that you must have intoxicated my father. You must have given him LSD or something. You must have given LSD to my father. And then when he was intoxicated, he made this promise to you." And then all the devotees in the audience, they all burst out laughing. I mean, all the people in the audience. But just see, Prabhupada is 70 years old, coming from Calcutta, gentleman, Vaishnava, Mahabhagavat, great devotee. But he's in tune. He knows what the audience is thinking, so he used this idea. Of course, it wasn't LSD. It was Dr. or some natural poison. So then a big argument started in the house of this rich man. Then his wife, the rich man's wife, came, and she heard what's going on, and she said, "Forget it! There's no way! I'm not giving my daughter to this poor, uneducated Brahmin." And then she warned her husband. She said, "If you do this, if you give our daughter, our youngest, dearest, wonderful daughter, to this Brahmin, I will commit suicide. I will kill myself." Now, the old gentleman was thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? My eldest son is in an uproar. My wife's going to kill herself. And so meanwhile, so much noise is going on in the house. All the elders of the village, these senior people that kind of hang around here and there, they gathered in the person's house. What's going on? What's all the turmoil and argument about? And then the story was narrated. So the young Brahmin said, well, it's like this. I took the old man on pilgrimage. He made a promise in Vrindavan before Gopal Krishna. And now nothing, everyone's saying, forget it. They won't give me the daughter in marriage. So the elderly people, the elderly gentlemen of the city, Panchayat, whatever, they heard the story and they said, all right, look. Oh, and then they heard and they said, no. They told the old man, you must give your daughter in marriage. You promised. You can't go back on your word. You're a man of honor and distinction. You're an aristocratic gentleman of this village. How can you go back on your word and break your promise to this young Brahmin? He's a Brahmin after all, even if he's poor and uneducated. So then the eldest son of the rich man, the old man, he was basically an atheist. Prabhupada describes him like an atheist. He just blurted out. He said, wait a minute. Look. We're not going to give we're not allowing my sister to marry this poor Brahmin unless that Gopal Krishna, he comes here from Vrindavan and he testifies that my father promised in front of him to give my daughter. Otherwise, forget it. This is the idea of your son. He said, if Gopal, the deity of Gopal, if he comes here to Vidyanagar in Orissa, and if he testifies on behalf of my father, that he's... Okay. So then the young Brahmin said, all right, fair enough. I will go back to Vrindavan, and I will talk to Gopal. And I'll bring him here. I'll bring Gopal here. Right, everyone started laughing. Okay, yeah, okay, sure. So then the young Brahmin, he went to Vrindavan. And he went before Gopal Krishna. And he said, my dear Gopal, you remember me? I came here some time ago with the old gentleman, and he made a promise that he would give his daughter in marriage. So he was speaking like this, because he had this faith. He had this faith that the deity, the murti, the archer of Vigraha is Krishna. So he's young, he's uneducated, he's pure-hearted Brahmin. So he's praying like this to Gopal. And then Gopal spoke, the Brahmin, he said, my Gopal, I'm in big trouble. Unless you come with me and witness on my behalf that you saw this thing and you heard this conversation with this old gentleman, they will not give me this daughter in charity. So then Gopal, the deity, spoke to him and said, I'm only a statue. I'm only a statue. I'm only a murti. How can I walk to Orissa? Do you realize that's over 1,000 miles? So then the young Brahmin man, he said to Gopal, he said, look, if you can talk to me, then why can't you walk with me to Orissa? So then Gopal was caught by the loving network of a surrendered devotee. He was trapped. So then Gopal said, all right, fair enough, I'll go. I will bear witness on behalf of you because you're my surrendered and pure devotee. But listen, I will walk behind you, but there's a condition. You cannot turn around, don't turn around and look to see if I'm behind you. You walk from Vrindavan, and you walk through Vidyanagar or Narissa, and I'll be right behind you. And you'll know that I'm behind you because you'll hear my nupura. You'll hear my ankle bells chiming and jingling very sweetly. So then they left. The murti of Gopal Krishna walked out of the temple and walked behind his devotee. Walked and walked. And then he came to the village on the outskirts of Vidyanagar. And then the Brahmin, he didn't hear the nupura. He couldn't hear the ankle bells of Gopal anymore. So then he turned around. And he saw Gopal. Gopal was just standing there and he wouldn't move. All right. So then he ran. It was a short distance into the village because Gopal was right on the edge. And he called everyone, all the elders, and he called the aristocratic gentleman. He said, Gopal is here to witness. So when everybody saw that, they were astounded, completely amazed, and overwhelmed that somehow or other, this deity of Krishna just walked 1,000 miles to testify and bear witness on behalf of his devotee. So the elders came and said, well, Krishna came. He bore witness. Now you must give your daughter to the Brahmana. And so the elderly gentleman, he said, yes, and he gave his daughter to the young Brahmin. So when this happened, all the people in the village, they all came around to see this wonderful deity. And then the king of that region came to hear about it. And he built a wonderful temple. And that deity became known as Shakshi Gopal, the deity who gave witness on behalf of his devotees. So Krishna, he's witnessing all their activities. He's situated in the heart of Paramatma, Sarvasya Chaham, Rijisami Vishto, Vitasmate Janam Kohanamsha, Vidashasadaraham, Vidavijo, Vidantasidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavidavid want to be nonsense and break those laws and break the principles that we promised, he'll allow it, he'll make arrangements. But if we want to always serve him with surrender and with devotion and never break his principles, he'll give us the strength, the inner resolve and power to follow very strictly and purely throughout our whole life. So we have promised at the time of initiation to follow these four laws. These are the laws for us. And we should always understand that Krishna is witnessing all our activities. And a devotee, seeing that the spiritual master is the Paramatma, or the representation of the super soul, he has a sincere devotee who thinks like this. At every moment, my activities are being witnessed. I cannot go anywhere. And there is no time or any place where I am not being watched and being witnessed and being observed. So let me act in such a way that everything I do and whatever I say or speak is pleasing to the Lord. This is the mood of Vrindavan. We see that when the associates, the loving associates of Krishna are with him, they're totally pleasing him with every thought, word, and deed. But when they're separated from him, they're also absorbed in pleasing him. Because they're singing about him, and they're making some curves for him, and they're talking about him, and they're imitating his pastimes. So they're also pleasing him when he's not in front of them. It's like sometimes when the spiritual master is in front of us, then we act in a very pleasing, sweet way. But when in the absence of what we perceive to be the absence of the spiritual master, when the spiritual master goes to Peru or France or all over the world, then we think, oh, now I can relax. Now I can misbehave or be a little lax in my service. He's not here. But no, he's there. The spiritual master is all-pervading. So the sincere devotee, he will think like this. He will think, I must always act in a pleasing way when my spiritual master is here, or when he's not here, he's actually here. I must always... So there's a nice meditation the devotee can have. He can think like this. With Srila Prabhupada, because our Gurudev is Srila Prabhupada, so you can put the name of your guru there. Would Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj or Bhakti Chu Maharaj or whatever the name of your Gurudev is, you can say, with Srila Prabhupada, be pleased with what I am doing right now. Will he be pleased with what I am doing right now? What are you doing? Well, I'm buying some pan. I'm in Calcutta and no one's around and I used to eat a lot of pan. No, the betel. So I'm buying some little packet of pan and eating it. No. Then you can say, no, you will not be pleased by breaking that principle. So they can think, would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with what I'm doing right now? Would he be very happy and satisfied and pleased by my actions right now at this moment? Would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with what I'm saying right now? I'm meeting with a devotee. I'm meeting with one of my friends. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, that devotee, he's so good. He did this and that. He's just a liar. So would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with how you're speaking in a blasphemous way about that devotee when you meet with them? So we can think, would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with what I'm saying right now? And then, would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with what I'm thinking right now? What are we thinking from time to time, moment to moment? Would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with what I'm desiring? With what I'm desiring right now? In the core of my heart. I may be externally doing the activities of devotion. I do my service and I try to exhibit the external activities very nicely. But in my heart, I'm thinking, if I could only get some money, if somehow or other I could get into a position in this society where I could accumulate money, then I could buy a little land and make a little house, and then I don't need this society anymore. I could just live there. Some desire comes like that. So would Gurudev, would Srila Prabhupada be pleased with that desire? Are we desiring nothing but pure devotion and the unlimited service of Gurudev and Krishna at every moment? That should be our moment-to-moment desire. And if another desire comes in for material enjoyment or exploiting this world, we should kick out that desire. Just like if you're in your room, if you're sitting in your room, just like once at Radha Damodar Temple, we are there in Mangalarti. Panchas Osai, myself, and a couple of devotees, very small gathering. And then a cobra came in the front door. Came in. And when the cobra was there, everyone got a little nervous. And Mangalai keeps going on, and bum, 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 bum. And I didn't even notice the cobra. And Panchas tapped me on the shoulder and said, So then he called the cook of the temple and he said, out, get him out. So then the cook took a stick and he went like this, and the cobra went around, the big cobra went around the stick and he threw him out. The cobra got thrown out among the larvae. So like that, if a cobra comes into your room, he will...